Thank you for your presence here this evening. Let us pray. Open our hearts and open our minds to the warmth of your love, to the wisdom that helps us to move through the day with an understanding that all is well and that you are with us. Thank you for calling us forward into life with courage, no matter what we may be experiencing. May your living word feed us this evening. We ask this in Christ. Amen.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. The first reading is taken from the book of the Acts, chapter 5. The high priest rose up, and all his companions, that is, the party of Sadducees, and, filled with jealousy, laid hands upon the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, "Go and take your place in the temple, and tell the people everything about this life." When they heard this, they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. And when the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. But the court officers did not find them in the prison. So they came back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked and guards stationed outside the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were at loss about them as to what this would come to. Then someone came in and reported to them, "The men you put in prison are in the temple area and are teaching the people." Then the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from the Psalm 34. In your response, "The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Look to him, that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame." Then the poor one called out, "The Lord heard, and from all his distress he was saved." The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading tonight is taken from John chapter 3. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives in truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
This is the season of Easter, and one of the elements of the liturgical readings that occur during the season of Easter are appetizers for Pentecost. Have you ever heard of an appetizer for Pentecost? Flame broiled? These stories are appetizers for Pentecost. They're indications of the church that is in infancy, emerging in the great events following the resurrection and these sacred appearances that are occurring. So at the moment, there is no real clarity of what was going to come of this group of people who are Jews, faithful Jews, who have been so deeply impacted by their Rabbi Jesus, and so deeply shaped and transfigured in a way as a community by the events that they are hearing about, his repeated appearances. Not all of these folks actually saw Jesus that had been a part of his community, but many of them did. So they're beginning to figure something out, and it takes a long time for them to figure this spiritual way of life out. A way of life that is based on the absence of their rabbi, a way of life that is based upon having been impacted by his presence physically and now no longer experiencing that in the same way. And so we see here in this passage one of the defining moments of the early church community, that this is in the book of Acts, is a record of how important it was to the early community. One of the things that you need to realize about the book of Acts is that it's trying to affirm and demonstrate the continuation of the anointing power of the Holy Spirit upon particular disciples, in particular Peter and other fellows of the 12, now the 11, because they haven't replaced Judas. That is to say, there's a clear indication that the authority of Jesus, as he was anointed by the Spirit at his baptism, has somehow been passed on to the 12 or to the 11, especially to Peter. And he's a part of this group that had been arrested and imprisoned. Now, if you go back and read the prior four chapters in the book of Acts, you'll see that in part they're arrested because they've been doing miracles around the temple and they've been preaching about the resurrected Jesus, which was not at all good for the temple elite, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the leaders of the Jewish community. They wanted to keep this thing hushed up, buttoned up, don't talk about it, because they were very much implicated in the events that surrounded Jesus' death and the story of his resurrection. Because, if they were honest, they didn't know where the body was either. They assumed that the disciples had stolen the body, and this was the story that was spun, and did something with the body, and then told the story that he had been raised from the dead. So there's all sorts of counterintentions, assigning of blame, and fear going around. Both communities, the Jewish elite, you might say the senior pastors, the establishment, and then this little community of gathered believers who's been touched by the Spirit of God, remembering Jesus, dealing with his absence, they're both in a state of fear. On top of that, now their leaders are in jail. So one of the first indications of the continuation of God's miracle stories in this community is a type of resurrection. And their release from the prison with the character of the angel appearing has an echo of the angel at the tomb. A tomb and a prison are very similar, locked from the outside. That is to say, normally the person on the inside can't get out. So we have a parallel here of the resurrection story, not just of Jesus, but now of the whole community. Another indication of the appetizer of the releasing of the Spirit to the whole world and being liberated, not just from death, but from the prisons of the power brokers of this world, that you can't contain the message. Now, the simple thing I wish to land for us this evening at a spiritual level is this little statement that the angel says to the disciples, the apostles, go and take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life. Go to the temple, which represents the heart of Jerusalem, the place of spiritual life of the community, and speak about this life. Now, what life are they, what is the angel referring to here? It's not particularly clear in the text, but it's echoed in the Gospel of John that we heard read, that God's life can't be overcome, and that it's a eternal life. I've recently spoke about that word, eternal, and a much better translation is the fullness of life. It's not just quantity of time in view here, it's the quality of life. Because there are several words in Greek for the word life, and this word here is the word zoe, which is the quality of life, the vibrant life of life in God, the kind of life that we would call the spiritual life, the fullness of the presence of Christ, that's how we would talk about it, the Eucharistic life, the life of the Spirit, the life of God living through us, the life that is living us, not just little L life, but the fullness of God's life in us. Not just newspaper events life, but the quality of the spiritual life that is occurring in each of us. Now, this is the life they're charged to go talk about, but the connection is very, very clear to where this life is sourced from and where the life is coming from. The life that they are to talk about is their inner experience of the resurrected life of Jesus. So the source of their life is their encounter and experience of life itself as manifested through the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is the witness bearer of that capital L life. It's not just theoretical, it's not just spiritual, it's on the ground embodied, can't keep me down life. It's the life that keeps coming back to life because it's life itself, it's the source of life. And Jesus the Christ in his resurrection demonstrates the power of that life in an extraordinary way and calls the disciples to live in that and to speak about that and to begin to orient their whole life around it. Now, did they know how to do that? Absolutely not. No one knew how to do this. It was a clear evolutionary moment forward. All they had was their Jewish scriptures and their stories of the encounter with the risen Christ. That's it. They went on pure faith and they basically said, okay, let's talk about that life. What is that life? Well, do you remember when he said this, this, and this? Do you remember when he healed the paralytic? Do you remember what he said to Mary Magdalene? Do you remember when he rose Lazarus from the dead, they started recounting and remembering the stories that they had experienced of the life of Christ being lived through him. And this begins the power of memory that holds the spiritual community together. The memory of what? Not just their inner experiences, not just their personal experiences, but their experience of the living life itself embodied in the incarnated Christ. It must have been an extraordinary experience to encounter this being, Jesus. And it must have imprinted their lives. We get a taste of it from time to time when we meet people like Father Thomas Keating, Bernadette Roberts, Tim and Barbara Cook. These people who come along and imprint our lives in such a way that we don't have a normal category for it. It's the life that was commanded to these folks to speak and demonstrate, still playing itself out in our day and age today. There's absolutely no limitation on who can bear that imprint and who can share that imprint. And all of us have a responsibility to heed the angel's invitation, to go to the temple and speak your truth about your experiences of the life. The world needs to hear your voice. The world needs to hear your story. You need to hear your story. Because when we forget to tell our stories, we forget God. And we don't understand ourselves when we lose touch with our stories. Story is the location where the encounters with life and God occur. Story is what holds it like a container. The story of our lives, the journey of our lives, that's where the encounters occur. We're not in heaven. Our feet aren't off the ground yet. Our story of encounter with divine life happens in this life. And there's something really sacred about it. And the quality of that life, that spiritual life, that is being sourced from the risen Christ by means of the Holy Spirit, through various means of grace, like the Eucharist, like the Scriptures, like our practice of prayer, like nature, these are all means of grace that convey and connect us more deeply and closely and intimately to that life. Even though we may have days where we don't feel a life, where it feels like the spigot has been shut off, where it feels like it's dark, cold, and we're like dead, even when that is occurring, the life is still there. It's just occurring in such a way, deeper than our perception, so that perhaps we can grow in faith, grow in understanding, and let go of the attachments we have to how that life should feel for us. Because it's the attachments and the assumptions we have about what that capital L life should feel and do to us that really gets in the way of our spiritual evolution. Because that life wants to do its work in us. And the way it does its work is by peeling away, layer by layer, all our expectations and assumptions, presumptions and pictures of what it should and shouldn't be like. It turns out that whatever is occurring as a means to connect you deeper to that capital L life. Squirming is futile. And it turns out that this life, in its power in our lives, in its work in our lives, does something to us. And the psalm really embodies and can give shape to our experience of the life little by little. I'm not talking about every single day. This is a sunshine day. This psalm is a sunshine psalm. There are dark, stormy psalms, but this is a sunshine psalm. And it's out there to keep us moving, to keep us hoping, to keep calling us forward on the dark days when we feel disconnected from that life that we're supposed to talk about. And this is from a soul that is emptied, a soul that is poor in spirit, so to speak, a soul that doesn't have any life of its own and thus is relying, as if one grasping for breath underwater, for capital L life. It's the poverty that really keeps us hungry for that life. I will bless the Lord at all times. The Lord's praise shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us extol and glorify the Lord's name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to Him that you may be radiant. Look to the Lord. Look to life that you may be radiant with joy. And so here's the embodiment of the resurrection on this plane of existence. We're not raised from the dead, literally. We all die and go into the ground. I've never met anyone who's been raised physically. But spiritually, the resurrection happens like this many, many moments of our lives and is manifested with the radiance of joy in our countenance. Joy that triumphs over death and darkness and sickness and despair and anything that life can throw against us. The inexplicable joy of the Lord of having been touched by God's life, light, and love, knowing one is forgiven, knowing one is in grace and upheld no matter what, knowing one is in communication and contact with the living life itself through the masters like Jesus, like the saints Mary, for example. In different ways that this grace comes to us and comes and feeds the hungry and fills the poor with life itself. Look to this life and that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. Don't hide it. Go to the temple and tell the good things God is doing in your life. When this poor one called out, the Lord of life hears, and from all your distress this Lord of life saves us. That may not mean that we get saved externally, like all the problems go away, but we might be liberated from the prison of the problem and thus be free from it, even though we might still be in it. This is called non-identification. This is called walking on the waters of life. The waters don't go away. You get lifted up. The prison doesn't go away. You get transformed in your perception. It becomes a house of prayer. For example, on and on and on, these reversals of misfortune become transformations of pure miracles of grace. Because the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers you. Taste and see how good this Lord of life is, and blessed is the person who takes refuge in this Lord of life. It's powerful stuff, friends. And the Christian message is very, 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 very wonderful. It's so extraordinary in its depth and riches, hooking up the depth of Judaism with the power of resurrected life. And it gets into us, and thus, just concluding with this, where are we at in our spiritual journeys? We're in this in-between phase between crucifixion, resurrection, and Pentecost. And this dynamic in our lives of constantly dying to self, being raised and then being anointed by the Spirit and being taken a little bit farther, dying to self, being raised and being anointed by the Spirit. It's the process of death, resurrection, inspiration, death, resurrection, inspiration. It's an ongoing journey. So that's what this in-between season of Easter to Pentecost can really help us focus on. The power of the presence that is an absence of the risen Christ, and also the process of your and my deepening connection to that life that is leading to inspiration through this season of joy, the joy of the Lord who has been raised. And we can feel that life no matter what's happening in this life. And that's really the essence of most spiritual paths, to feel the living life living us no matter what's happening in each of our lives. How that works out? Well, you tell me how it's going. This is a community of stories of many of you, many of us, who have experienced the goodness of the Lord helping us be raised up, filling our countenance with joy, and sending us on our way with a new story of deliverance and a new understanding and encounter with that life. It's a little by little thing. It takes patience. It takes faith. But the message is so strong, the remedy is so powerful, that it can begin to little by little reduce our level of fear and help us live in this world as ones who have been conquered by life itself, because we've simply said yes to it and been a part of this beautiful process of preaching the good news of the gospel of life. Amen. Amen. May this life become familiar more and more with you and your soul, your body and your mind, your emotions and your awareness. and so liberate you from any situation you may be experiencing. And may you celebrate with the countenance of joy upon your face and tell your story freely.